Hide.
Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snuff. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Hour two of the EA Show is coming at you live from Image Matters. That's Image Matters, Inc. If you want to check out everything that they have to offer you here at Image Matters, you can do that. They have Xerox products, HP and Xerox. Again, that's what they are. They're your workflow solutions company here, your office technology company. They can help you with so many different things in your office, technology-wise, print, workflow, all that stuff. They're there to help drive your business forward, and they can do that with some of the different exclusive products and technology that they have.
Technology you need and the people you trust. 212-3600 or imagematters.inc.com. It's time to play college football trivia. We'll take callers 1 and 2 at 656-9900. Callers 1 and 2 at 656-9900 to play college football trivia. It's brought to you by Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville on Callahan Drive, home of the 200,000-mile warranty. And you're playing today for prize to Breakout Games Knoxville. One game for you and your friends at Breakout Games Knoxville. Breakoutgames.com/Knoxville. So you find out more about Breakout Knoxville. Just a fun, fast-paced experience. You have 60 minutes to get out of the room. They have different adventures, different rooms. Great for you. Breakoutgames.com/Knoxville. We have Mac and Chad on the line. Mac, you were caller number one, so you get to choose, would you like to pass or play, and we are in the SEC. Pass or play on the SEC?
I'll pass.
Mac is going to pass.
Passing on the SEC.
All right. Mac, hang on. If Chad does not get this team, then you'll have the chance to steal. Chad, how are you this morning?
All right, let's bring it on.
Let's do it. All right. This SEC team defeated a team on the road with their starting quarterback going 15 of 20 for 116 yards and one touchdown. This team led 17 to 10 at the half and won their SEC road game by a final score of 20 to 17. Quarterback was 15 of 20, led 17 to 10 at the half, and held on to win 20 to 17 on the road. Who is this SEC team?
Let's say LSU.
It is not LSU. Hang on. If Mac doesn't steal, you'll have the chance to win. Mac, quarterback was 15 of 20 for 116 yards and a touchdown. Team led 17 to 10 at the half and won a conference road game 20 to 17. Who was this team?
South Carolina.
It is South Carolina. Mac nailed it. Woo-hoo! The Gamecocks win 20 to 17 in overtime. Ryan Helinski, 15 of 20, 116 yards and a touchdown. South Carolina now 3-3 on the year. They play Florida this week. Georgia 5-1. Mac, hang on. Joel, we'll get your information. We will get that gift card to Breakout Knoxville to you. Breakout Knoxville is for people who would rather get in and have the fun than watch somebody else do it. And just a great time, a great experience for date night, team building, whatever.
It's Breakout a good time, man, for sure.
All right, we've been talking to Brian Maurer all morning. He is one of the people in Jeremy Pruitt's first two classes at Tennessee.
Yep.
We want to go back and take a look at the first two recruiting classes for Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee and whether those guys are playing up to their rankings, above their rankings, or in some cases below. Go back to start the 2018 class, the guys that are sophomores or redshirt freshmen this year. Class was 21st in the country, 8th in the SEC. Let's go by, you want to go by star rank? You want to go by overall?
Which one do you have pulled up?
I have star rank pulled up.
Let's go star rank.
Okay, using the 24/7 Sports composite rankings, J.J. Peterson was Tennessee's highest rated signee. He was a four-star. Obviously, you know the saga. Had to spend the summer last year doing some academic things to qualify. Showed up overweight, out of shape, and played four games. Got his red shirt last year.
What are we saying? Meet, doesn't meet, or exceeds?
Yes.
That obviously does not meet, so far, his recruiting ranking. This is where the reason this matters is because people, we see the rankings and we get excited. And then sometimes you have three stars that aren't, you don't even get excited about, and they end up being the best player. And sometimes you have five stars that end up not meeting expectations.
J.J. Peterson has a long way, and it's important to note, with all these guys that we're going to talk about, they're all in their first or second year in the program. They have a long way to go still in their careers. Yeah,
that's why we're not saying bust. We're saying doesn't meet recruiting ranking so far.
Alante Taylor, four-star.
I would say he meets it for sure.
He came out as wide receiver, but it was known that he could play defensive back, and he has been a game-changer at defensive back right now. Still makes some young player mistakes, but I think great. Greg Emerson, defensive tackle.
I'd say meets, but
he's had to play a lot this year, but didn't play a lot last year because Tennessee had a lot on the defensive line last year.
Yeah, I'd say meets.
Bryce Thompson.
Meets.
As a four-star, I think meets is fair. Yeah. Dominic Wood Anderson.
Dominic Wood Anderson, to me, meets the expectation. I think that a lot of the issue that he has had in really putting numbers up is he doesn't get enough opportunities. He's only had 15 targets through six games. I mean, if that continued, he'd have the whole year. The guy should have more than 30 catches, let alone 30 targets. So I'm going to say meets. They need to throw him the football more.
Jordan Allen, defensive end. He was a four-star junior college player, which means you expected him to go right away.
I feel like he's playing pretty decent.
Okay.
I would say a lot of these guys, I don't know that I'm going to say exceeds on anybody that's a four-star that we have recruited, because I have a pretty high expectation, do you not, for a guy that meets expectations. But here's the thing. In years past, if we did this, there would not be this many guys that were saying meet. We wouldn't. So I'll say meets on that.
Emmett Gooden has been hurt this year, so he hasn't had a chance really to – he's an incomplete because he was out before the season started this year. Jerome Carvin, offensive tackle.
I'd say meets. He played last year too. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's played off and on and switched positions a little bit and been a contributor. And if the offensive line is getting better, I mean, he's got to be a part of that too.
All right, now we're in three stars. Carvin was the lowest rated four star. This guy's no longer on the team, but I would evaluate him anyway because he was until recently Jeremy Banks.
Jeremy Banks, I would...
on the field only.
Jeremy Banks, you'd say, meets because he played more than one position and he provided depth at both. And for a three-star guy, that's... For a freshman or sophomore three-star guy that's already providing depth at more than one position, I think you got to say meets.
Jameer Johnson, offensive tackle.
Yeah, I mean, he played, did he not?
Yeah,
I mean,
both years.
Played. Yeah, so you got to say yes. I don't know that I would say exceeds. I mean, if you're a three-star guy and you're playing as a freshman or a sophomore, you might right there just by that say exceeds. But circumstantially, with a new coaching staff and a lot of attrition in the upperclassmen classes, I'm not going to say exceeds expectations just because they're playing, because I think they're playing guys.
Particularly
regardless.
When you're a junior college guy.
Yeah.
Should be playing anyway.
Yeah.
JT Schrout, incomplete. We haven't seen anything from him.
I don't have real high expectations, but that's okay.
Jacob Warren, tight end.
Didn't he redshirt?
Last year? Has played sparingly this year.
I'd say too early. If you're a three-star guy and you're redshirting or not playing enough to get out there, I think that would have to fall in the incomplete.
Tanner Antinui had to retire for medical reasons. John Mincy, defensive end. Haven't seen much of him yet.
No. But again, I have a hard time as a freshman or sophomore.
Right.
If you're a three-star, get on the field. I mean, it's hard. You'd want to say maybe doesn't meet, but that's maybe not fair. They're so young still.
Ollie Lane has gotten in a little bit this year as Tennessee's been able to rotate some guys through. But again, like defensive line is a development position. Trayvon Flowers, I would say exceeds on Trayvon Flowers.
I would say exceeds on him.
Because though he's been injured both years, he is.
Guy played and started playing well as a true freshman at safety as a three-star. Got to say exceeds.
Curt Garland was in the transfer portal, and then he was out of it, and he's played a lot this year for Tennessee.
Man, he's played pretty decent.
Kingston Harris.
Maybe exceeds.
Yeah, I would say exceeds for him. Kingston Harris is a defensive tackle that we haven't seen much from. So, still an incomplete there.
Yeah, incomplete.
Cedric Tillman at wide receiver. He's been out there some this year.
Made a couple catches, I'm pulling him up right here.
Brandon Davis, cornerback, we have not seen him at all, so I'd say incomplete there. Kenny George was the lowest-rated position player Tennessee signed in the first class, and he's played a ton, especially this year. And then Paxton Brooks, the kicker, is the last member of that class, and obviously he is produced a whole lot in getting the kickoffs into the end zone. All right, welcome back. 656-9900. If you want to join us, we'll take a look at Jeremy Pruitt's second class when we return here to Image Matters. We're on Sutherland Avenue on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the Eric Gaines Show on The Sports Animal. Live today from Image Matters. Talking about these first couple recruiting classes for Jeremy Pruitt, I think it matters in talking about this because one of the things that we have seen so far this year, one of the storylines anyway, Brian, is how many freshmen are playing.
Right.
There's, 17 freshmen or something like that? I mean,
I believe we're up to 20 that have now played.
20 now? I mean, geez. So that is not normal.
Well, and then when you go through what we just did, which is his first signing class, and you say, yeah, a lot of those guys are playing, but they're not the stars. Though Alante Taylor, Bryce Thompson, Dominic Wood Anderson are certainly making a big impact. Nobody on that list, you immediately said stud. You know, you said with Taylor and Thompson, yeah, they're playing above or meeting expectations. Greg Emerson's playing a lot on the defensive line as well. But I think that's what's going to make it even more stark as we look at this 2019 class is how many of these guys are.
Yeah.
2019 class was ranked 13th in the country by the 24/7 Sports Composite, 7th in the SEC. All right, we'll start at the top. Two offensive linemen, they've both started just about every game, Darnell Wright and Wanya Morris.
And these guys are five-star freshmen offensive linemen, and I'm going to say for both of them, meets. That's crazy.
At that position, especially.
For the big guys that, you know, it's rare that you see five-star freshman linemen, A, have to play.
Right.
But even then, if they do, you expect them to have a bunch of freshmen. These guys are playing really good.
Yeah.
I mean, they are. And when you watch the development of those two guys specifically, the future on the offensive line is very bright for Tennessee, especially when you start and you with just those two guys right there.
Henry T's next.
I mean,
speaking of guys that are starring on the defense, he was only a four-star by the composite, but you know what? He's playing he's at a five-star level.
He's finally no longer leading the team in tackles.
Yes.
Theo Jackson now leads the team in tackles. So there you go. Exactly. And he's got to miss another half. And he would. I mean, you're telling me he wouldn't have had three tackles?
Probably so.
In the second half against Mississippi State?
And then this next one, I'm going to give an exceeds, even though his stats probably don't say it, and that's Quaverius Crouch. He came in as an athlete. He's had a couple of carries at running back, but mostly they relied on him at linebacker, particularly with...
Sorry, I said exceeds for Henry
yes.
T.
Yes.
You did too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Quaverius Crouch.
I'd say exceeds two. The guy's playing three different positions, and he's a freshman. And he's playing a lot.
Yeah, and has played even more with the attrition you've had at linebacker for various reasons. Ramil Keaton, wide receiver, four-star guy.
I would say with what we've got here on this team, specifically when you talk about him, I think you'd have to say either meets or exceeds.
Because he's
getting on the field as a freshman receiver is incredible just when you look at the guys he has to get on the field over.
Well, and that's what I would say with him was because though his catches aren't up, you notice that even in the first quarter, second quarter,
he was out
on
there.
A lot of running downs, they're out there, and then they call the same personnel grouping and call a pass because Mississippi State thinks they're running because of the personnel grouping, and they go over the top to it.
Yeah. He's only got one catch on the year. I understand that. But getting on the field and being even in a position to have, like you're, to your point,
yeah.
to have the play called for you.
Right.
I'm going to say meets.
All right.
For him, for sure.
Jalen McCullough, safety. He hasn't been out there a ton, but
no,
he's
a freshman, and he's getting out there, and you're going to continue to see him play, and so that's meets.
Eric Gray. I've got to go meets because he's a four-star that's
meets.
Been on the field as much as he has.
I'm going to say meets for that exact reason as well. I do think, I mean, he's – if you look at his carries, 45 rushes for 186 yards – he net averages 3.9 yards per carry with a long of 16. A lot of that was not against our best competition. I think that there's going to be a learning curve for him. Mm-hmm. But still, he's a freshman, and he's out there playing at running back. And when he does have the ball, every time he gets the ball in space, he exceeds.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say meets, and I love his ceiling for sure.
All right, we're going to go through a few guys here that it's too soon to tell, but they've been around a little bit as Tennessee's had time to get them in. Tyus Fields at corner, Jackson Lampley at offensive guard, and Jackson Lowe at tight end. Those are guys.
Too early on them, yeah.
Yeah. Roman Harrison, though, at defensive end, has had to get in there and play some and has gotten good comments from his coaches and teammates when he has gotten in there. So I would say meets because he was a four-star.
I would agree on that as well.
Melvin McBride, offensive lineman, another guy who's developing. And then it comes to Brian Maurer.
I would say exceeds.
As a three-star guy, I think, yeah.
A three-star freshman quarterback to be playing. Now, listen, remember, people, he has two touchdown passes and four interceptions. Two touchdowns, four picks. I love his ceiling. But he has a less than 1-to-1. He has a 0.5-to-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio. Brian is not playing winning football, but he's playing, and he's a freshman, and he was a three-star. And we have other things that aren't like – it's not like we're just out there and he just has to hand it off and we just go beat everybody.
Right.
If we could start doing that, if every game we played looked like Mississippi State in the second half – then, yeah, anyone can do that.
Yeah.
Remember, two touchdowns, four picks. Love the ceiling. Needs to stop turning the ball over.
Warren Burrell.
Started game one as a freshman, dude.
As a three-star guy.
Beyond exceeds expectations. Even though I think that he, even for a freshman, I want him to play more aggressive. And I want him to be, but again, it's impossible to be really, truly, purely confident unless you actually feel prepared for what you're going to go do. And when you're a freshman, dude, it's such a whirlwind and it's so crazy and all over the place. It's hard to like zone in, calm down, and actually be like that aggressive corner that I think they think he can be. I would agree. What I would say to him is exceeds because we even are talking about you. You're a three-star corner, dude. And we're talking about you because of how much football you have played. And the conversation isn't, oh my gosh, he's terrible. It's, he's shown a lot of promise. The coaches love him. He's shown that he can have a really high ceiling. I'm excited for him to get to that point where the light bulb comes on and he actually is confident, because it's hard to play corner when you second guess yourself a little bit. And I see him doing that, which is totally normal for freshmen.
You're developing Aaron Beasley, developing Elijah Simmons. Daryl Middleton's a junior college signee. He has played a lot.
He's played a lot. Got to say, exceeds for him.
Sean Brown's a tight end. They're developing him. Chris A. from IMG Academy. He's gotten in there a lot lately. I'd say meets for him. Jeremy Pruitt's been real high on him. He had an injury that prevented him from participating as much in fall camp as he'd like. Or, according to what Jeremy Pruitt said, he'd be out there a lot more than he already is. So, big guy. And then Kenny Solomons had to be out there, a defensive back. And Jared Means, a wide receiver, haven't seen him a ton. They're developing him. But, I mean, we just went through the list, and you have them written down, of guys that are playing a huge role this year that are freshmen. And I think when you have that, you know, the record's going to be what it's going to be, but the way those guys have, are playing and the staff has gotten them ready to play, I think gives you a lot of confidence going forward about what this is going to look like for the next couple of years.
And for guys, 100%. And for guys like Daryl Middleton, I mean, he played a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. Got a quarterback hurry against UTC. Got a couple assisted tackles and a solo tackle against Georgia State. He got a tackle for loss and a sack against Mississippi State. So in game six of his first year here, he is a three-star guy that's out there getting tackle TFLs and sacks. Mm-hmm. That is, you got to say, exceeds for a guy like that. Yeah, I think that there's only like 3 to 5 guys that I think have played enough that you would go, I don't know. I don't know. It's still too early to tell, but I don't know. On almost everyone else that has played, and it's, what, 20 of these freshmen, it's almost all the sophomores, on 80%, maybe 85% of the freshmen and sophomores that we have seen play, they either meet or exceed expectations. Yep. That's incredible. That's impressive, because if they're already doing that for what we're saying for their ranking, then if you just assume that they get better every year they're in school, then by the time those guys are, you know, in another year or two or three from now, how good are those same guys going to be playing?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me feel good about the future, that's for sure.
All right, 656-9900, if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show, so you talk about some of these freshmen that have been playing. Some other updates from Jeremy Pruitt this week coming up, and we'll, of course, pick our upsets of the week coming up at 10:45. All that and more on the Eric Haines Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show on the Sports Animal. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group, and today we're broadcasting live from Image Matters. That's Image Matters, Inc. online. Find out how they can help you and your business. They can help your bottom line, that's for sure.
Everything about it, from world-class service and support, Image Matters, the only office technology company in East Tennessee that offers a total document output solution, the area's only HP-certified managed print specialist, and Xerox document technology partner. Image Matters, the technology you need, the people you trust. 212-3600 or imagematters.inc.com. Let's go to the phones at 656-9900. Steve is up first. Welcome in, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've been listening to y'all this week. I'm with the Knoxville Focus. My name is Steve Williams, and I'm looking forward to the game with Alabama this weekend. And, Eric, I've really been surprised. I know you've always been throughout. I've never heard you not be optimistic going into a game like you have been this one. But I've got about 5 or 6 facts here that I think might help. You want to hear them?
Of course, Steve. Help me out. Help me feel better about it.
I guarantee you, Eric, when this is through, you're going to be more optimistic about our chances.
Hit me with it.
Number one, and obviously a lot of people already know this, but I just want to bring it back to your attention. We haven't forgotten that the USA beat the Russians in ice hockey back in around 1980. True?
I'm writing these down, Steve, so I can use it, you know, to date back to for a reference.
Good idea. Hey, Buster Douglas took down Mike Tyson.
That he did. One of the greatest upsets of all time.
The New York Giants prevented the New England Patriots from going undefeated in a Super Bowl game. It was quite a surprise.
You're right. I mean, they were a wild card team. You're right.
And we can't forget that Appalachia State shocked Michigan once upon a time in the Big House.
Georgia State beat Tennessee.
Yeah, well,
that was going to be a follow-up question. Okay. That
one kind of ruins the Appy State one for me.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll scratch that one off.
Keep going.
Two more. Willie Joe Namath and the New York Jets back in what year was it, 69 maybe? Put the AFL on the map by beating the Baltimore Colts. And the last one, which I didn't know, but as I did my research, have you all heard of the horse named Upset?
I have not.
This will really get you. There was a horse, and this is true, there was a horse named Upset. And this horse ran back in the 1900s, around the turn of that century. And Upset a horse named Man of War. That's a true fact. Upset, Man of War, one of the great horses of all time. So there's a few facts that kind of have sparked my optimism this week that Tennessee can go to Alabama and maybe pull an upset. What do you guys think?
You forgot David and Goliath.
That's the big one.
Oh, okay, there you go.
We'll go Old Testament on him. I will say this. The ESPN Football Power Index gave Georgia State a 3.4% chance of beating Tennessee in week one. The Football Power Index currently gives Tennessee a 2.6% chance of beating Alabama.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance. Well, I'm saying it. Go ahead.
Eric, I just want to know, after this phone call, do you feel any better at all about our chances?
I don't. I don't feel worse, Steve.
Okay, buddy. All righty. Well,
you'll have to take that. You know I will. And by the time Saturday actually rolls around, Steve, especially with the kick not till 9 o'clock, darn it, I'll find a way to get myself excited.
We got all day to get crazy.
Yeah, I'll do it. It'll happen.
Hey, I know you will. Hey, Brian, let me ask you one thing, too.
All right.
With this kickoff being at 9 o'clock at night, is that whose advantage do you think that is, you know, would be Tennessee or Alabama?
I think they both have a disadvantage. I mean, here's the thing. Alabama's going to have to sit around all day in their team hotel because you stay in a hotel at home as well. The road team is obviously staying in a hotel. They've had to sit around and wait all day. I think the advantage there is if Alabama wants to leave their team hotel, they've got their own facility that they can come in and have full meetings in and get set on whatever routine. I think for Tennessee, it's tougher because you're doing everything in the hotel, and you can go stir-crazy in that hotel. I would not be surprised at all if they're planning on taking them out at 10 or 11 in the morning to a school in Birmingham and letting them have an extra walkthrough out of the hotel. I think that's probably pretty likely.
They for sure will. They'll do something. There's no way they'll let them sit around all day. That's brutal.
You know, when we went on, when I was on the road with them, we played several night games, and they would go out in the morning to the stadium site. The problem is, when you go to Alabama, you stay in Birmingham, so I don't think they're going to drive them 45 minutes to Tuscaloosa and back, but I do think that they'll probably go to probably somewhere like Hoover High School or someplace like that big, where they have the opportunity to get in and get out and just kind of walk around and do some walkthrough stuff. But I think they're both at a disadvantage with the 9 o'clock tip-off or kickoff because it's not a usual thing for either team.
Tip-off. You're already in basketball season.
So there's another oddity. that could lead into an upset. What about, is there any way, Eric, that we could, you know, these facts that I just mentioned, these great upsets of all time, that we could get this information to the Alabama football players on Saturday so while they're sitting around all day, they could read about it and maybe think, uh-oh.
I think Nick Saban is the very best that I've ever seen in any sport or anything coaching period when it comes to making sure that his team, who is by far the best, still has a us against the world. Everyone's telling me, he called it poison. He said he refers,
rat poison.
Yeah, he refers to the positive news for his team and his players as rat poison. It's poison. And he hates it. I'll never forget, Steve. They had this is 2000, I don't know, mid 2000, 2012, 13, 14, something, one of those years. And they were undefeated and they had set a record for the most straight weeks atop the AP top spot. Like number one in the poll for something crazy weeks. It was one of those where they were going on like 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was after a game, might have been the Iron Bowl or something, and they had the, you know, camera on the Bama player, and he's sitting there going, you know, no one believed in us. Everyone's been doubting us. And I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm going, dude, literally nobody doubts you. Literally, you broke the record.
They had these quotes on the wall that said, that were just tagged, the media.
Like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, like.
No, they weren't saying that.
Nobody said that. But Nick Saban had fooled his guys into thinking that they had to play to prove some people wrong. Because it's easier to do that than it is to sit there and know. It's easier to hunt than be the hunted. Would we all agree with that?
Absolutely.
And these guys have been the hunted, and they stay the hunted, and they are just fine with it. And it's incredible. They don't sleep. I do not expect Alabama to be, quote, caught sleeping against Tennessee.
Steve, we appreciate it. 656-9900 if you want to join us as we broadcast live from Image Matters.
I love
the Hurricane
call,
Show.
Thanks, man.
Hey, some positivity. It's FM 99.1, the sports animal.
I'll get there. Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show on the Sports Animal. Brian Rice and myself today from Image Matters, imagematters.com.
All right, full bank of phones. So let's roll and see how many we can get through before the end of the hour. We always appreciate it. David is up first. David, welcome into the EA Show.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
They were talking about the advantage, the disadvantage for the home revisiting team at 9 p.m. I think, in my opinion, the teams, as far as the players, it's going to be the same. I think a 9 o'clock game, it's probably an advantage goes to the visitors. I don't think there's any way. People have been tailgating all day long, drinking, partying, doing their thing, that there's going to be as much energy in that crowd at 9 o'clock at night. But I think, I don't know if you agree or disagree, I think the advantage goes to the visiting team in that scenario. Do you agree?
In that particular regard, yeah, but I think that I think Brian's point of the bringing up the hotel outweighs that. I think a team, a veteran team, you know, we have some guys that have played on the road before, you know, for the most part anyway. You know, if Brian Maurer's your starting quarterback, then maybe that changes the advantage more, because you're talking about, you know, playing on the road at Alabama and it being super crazy loud. But I think sitting around the hotel all day is worse.
I think outside of noon games, I don't think there's a huge advantage one way or another for game times in college football. I do in basketball. I think in basketball, you being able to control everything that your players do for 24 hours before is an advantage for road teams with odd start times. I don't think it helps home teams. I think night games with big crowds can help you, but I think he's right. I think David's right in that when you get to the 8 local, 9 Eastern time, you've kind of blown on past the sweet spot of 7 o'clock, everybody's hyped up, everybody's ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't. Again, I go back to, I don't think there's an advantage for either team based on the start time. Let's go to Stan next. David, we appreciate it. Stan, welcome into the EA show.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Hey, Stan.
You know, being at Bryant Denny, I'm not sure that there's big. Alabama crowds have gotten better at being supportive and being a factor, but they're still not anywhere near a factor as they are in, say, at LSU or, for that matter, at UT. They just, for what, they're better, but they still don't, I don't think, provide that big a lift to the home team. And I'm, like I said, I'm an Alabama fan. I just, much better, but still not that much.
I would agree with that.
And I think that Saban is at least concerned about getting overconfident because he did bring up the rat poison. You know, he wasn't yelling this time, which means that he doesn't think he has to get their attention. But he's at least concerned to keep them from focusing on the results and focus on what they're doing play to play. All that being said, you know, if a UT fan was to decide they wanted to print T-shirts, white with a big orange T on it that says, "I am rat poison," with a big T on the end of rat, they could probably sell a bunch of those.
That'd be great pretty funny. Idea. I like that, Stan.
That's only funny.
And I'll leave you my name and number and stuff off the air so I can get the money.
Yeah, we'll get you. Send you there the royalties your way, Stan. We always appreciate it. We'll see you soon. It's hour number three.
I would wear that shirt right now
all the time.
In the week leading up to it, I wouldn't want to have it on after we got beat by 40. Would you?
No, I'd give it a. I'd let that shirt take a knee for a month or two before I started putting it back on. But
yeah, that would be, yeah, that's a.
Take a knee in the, you know, the coach used to tell y'all to take a knee because he was going to tell you how you screwed up. That's what I mean by taking a knee. I hate that you now have to clarify that. But hour number three of the Eric Ain Show starts next. We'll play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. We'll take more of your phone calls. It's FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.